This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 174 for Wednesday, December 16th, 2015. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out and talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. But today, we're going to talk about Christmas, because, well, it's almost here. It's like next week, and this is going to be our holiday show. So you may recognize some of the voices I have with me tonight already. Lou is here. Hello.
Howdy.
Brockett is also here. Hello, Brockett.
Hello.
And we are going to bring in a few other people throughout the show. Growly Bear, a regular in our chat room, is going to be around. I'm not sure if I can convince Sam to come on the show. She might. And Ryan Murphy from the Gamers Inn might pop by a little bit later. He was out running some errands and he's got a show at 10. So we're hoping to bring him in somewhere around, I don't know, midway through the show. So we'll see how it goes. But this is the only thing missing is a holiday drink because I didn't have anything in the house. And I wanted to make myself like a rum and eggnog or a nice brandy. And I've got a glass of water and a couple of Tylenol. So I am incredibly unexciting for a holiday extravaganza on the Citadel Cafe. And speaking of holiday extravaganza, that is where the absent Hammond Chamberlain is. He's at his kid's Christmas thing, holiday thing. I don't know, what do we call them now? Like extravaganzas? It's, I don't know, it sounds like a mishmash of all kinds of really cool stuff.
They always called them holiday parties when I was a kid.
Holiday parties, interesting. So for us, it was a Christmas concert.
Yeah. Holiday parties are Christmas concert, usually.
Yeah, concerts. Although now you can't call them Christmas concert. So I guess the alliteration is like holiday hootenanny.
Holiday hootenanny. Well, I hope Hammond and his holiday hootenanny are having
a holly jolly time.
There we go. Wow, well done. Have you guys had this whole problem this year with like trying to be politically correct and saying holiday or just saying Christmas and all this kind of stuff? Like, do you fall into that trap? Lou, what do you guys do at work?
At work, we usually try and say happy holidays, though the occasional Merry Christmas will come out and people don't get bent out of shape. But I did hear an interesting story today at work. Apparently, one of the guys on his way to work stopped and was putting gas in his tank and somebody got in his way or something like that, and they had like a little shuffle, and he said to the guy, happy holidays, and the guy went off.
Oh no.
And was like screw you and your political correct bull crap. I'm going to tell you Merry Christmas, and if you don't like it, you can stuff it up your he came in and was he's like, I've seen people get bent out of shape about it or whatnot. He goes, but not like that. And I was like, nope. No, I haven't seen it get that bad.
Somebody has missed the whole point of the Christmas season. Brockett, what about you? How is it said in Chicago?
Oh, well, I work at a law firm, and one of the problems is that you have clients of all sorts, and we do have two Jewish attorneys, partners, and so, you know, but one of them's very, you know, practices a lot. And the other one, they have a Christmas tree, but they also do some Hanukkah stuff. So the Christmas cards, which when I've been there 3 years now, my first year I was in charge of helping like fold them and send them out. It's a interesting evolution how even a law office with Christian and Jewish people, you know, they have the happy holiday cards, but even the colors of the cards have to be, like, because Hanukkah has a lot of white and blue, Christmas is green and red. A lot of times they've either stayed away from both, or it'll be a blue one, but it was like season's greeting. Like, it's very strange. I default to happy holidays now. Like, that's just what I say now.
Yeah, I do the same because, as I've mentioned a couple times on the show, I've got a part-time job that puts me in the public. And, when you're dealing with the public, and especially around Halifax, because of the high student population, it's a very multicultural kind of environment. So you're just like, you don't want to seem like you're pushing anything on anybody. And, when I'm at work, I'm, representing a whole other company as opposed to just being myself. But I've caught myself now just in regular conversation with friends, people that are from here, have known me forever, that wouldn't think anything of me saying Merry Christmas to them, because that's what I would mean, it'd be Merry Christmas. And I'm not even religious. So, it has a family and a relaxation and a wish you well sort of connotation for me, and everybody knows that. But I've caught myself saying, like, I'm going to a couple of holiday parties this weekend. It's like, no, I'm going to Christmas parties.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. There's going to be Christmas cookies, and there's going to be Christmas presents and Christmas games, and that is what's happening. And but when I'm talking with, like, I find it happens a lot with new people too. Like when you're at an event where you're meeting new people, even if it's pretty we'll say homogenous in terms of the environment, I still end up saying like happy holidays and stuff like that. Out of habit, I guess. I guess it's a respectful thing. I don't see why everything has to have, I've always enjoyed, I think it was the OC where it was Happy Christmas Kwanzaa was the thing that they made up for it. Cause it was like this great big mishmash of holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do enjoy the ugly holiday sweaters though.
Right.
They
have a day at work next week where everybody wears bad sweaters. And I usually use it as an excuse to dress down and wear something that's not appropriate for work.
Do you have a holiday sweater?
I do not.
I have a sweater
full of holes that's awful that I keep around for like when I'm like doing crap around the house.
There you go.
I usually wear that to work.
There you go. So you grab that sweater and then you get a Sharpie. Preferably a red one. What color is the sweater?
It's blue.
Blue. Okay. So maybe I guess red. Red or green. If you can find a red or green Sharpie, maybe both. And instead of writing ho, 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 write hole, hole, hole on the shirt and just point to the various holes with arrows.
Good point. That's a good point.
So instant Christmas sweater. You will be the talk of the holiday festivities at your place of work. And maybe fired. I don't know.
No, my office is pretty my office is pretty familiar with the fact that I don't normally dress up as much as I do for work when I'm not there.
Yeah, I have been, I was reading an article the other day about like, dressing for success, even when you work from home, which is it's a nice thought, but no one does it. I can appreciate getting up and having a shower and getting ready to do stuff because I certainly feel more awake after I've had a shower and a cup of coffee. But if anybody out there thinks that I'm going to be doing any illustration and design work in the wintertime, not in sweatpants, like forget it. I am not wearing anything more than a t-shirt and sweatpants all winter long when I'm home. Forget it. Nice. Do you guys do any parties at work, Brockett?
We did just have the last Friday was, oh no, two Fridays ago was the holiday party or whatever, where we go out to a fancy restaurant and the firm pays for everything. There's,
wow.
It was, they had salmon or steak as the entree choice for pretty much everybody, or chicken or a veggie thing. And then drinks were paid for. So of course, plenty of interesting things come out. So that was my first ever experience for what, like growing up, you always see in the films and the movies like, oh, you don't want to know what Joyce does at the holiday party. And you're just like, as a kid, you're like, open presents? Like you don't understand at all what they're referencing, the fact that when adults have alcohol around people that they normally don't show that side to, that crazy things happen. But like, it's nothing like people hanging from the chandeliers and stuff like that. But it's always interesting, certain things. And one of the attorneys is – that works at the firm grew up actually in a fraternity that was the model for Animal House.
Wow.
And of U of I at the University of Illinois, and he was like president, and he says that there are moments in Animal House that happened before his eyes as a young man in the fraternity. And no joke, today I touched Harold Ramis's may he rest in peace, his home in Illinois, in one of the suburbs. They did property tax for him. So that's, you know, things like that are always interesting to hear, like, because normally in passing you're just talking about work or whatever, but sometimes the attorneys will tell you interesting stories and stuff like that. So that's pretty much it. We're having a potluck on Friday, and that's in the office. No booze, so that's a lot more tame.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I was gonna say, my father's side of the family, Christmas holiday parties with them usually ends in someone getting into a fist fight. So I'm glad that they live in Florida and not in Maine.
Makes sense. Whenever I picture office Christmas parties, I always just picture, like, on one side you've got a super serious kind of like office environment, you know, a thousand monkeys pushing out the words of Shakespeare. And then I picture on the flip side, the Muppets. Just like everybody gets a drink in their hand, and they're just, you know, animals swinging from the chandelier, and Miss Piggy flirting with somebody in the corner. And like, I feel like that would be, I don't know, I'd kind of like to be a fly on the wall for the Muppet Christmas party.
Yeah, you know, that sort of thing.
Ironically, the Muppet Christmas special, the family Christmas that they do, that's one of my favorite holiday specials. The one where they go to the farmhouse?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were referring to the new Muppets TV show, because I know they had a Christmas special.
Oh, did they? I haven't been keeping up. I enjoyed the first two or three that I watched. I wish they were longer. I kind of want an hour-long drama on that one.
Really?
And I get a 22-minute kind of very shallow story, lots of one-liners sort of thing, and I feel like I want a little bit more. I saw the clip on YouTube of Dave Grohl and Animal going at it, though. That was fun.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the new series. It was one of those that we keep when Laura and I catch up on TV shows. Like, we've added three new TV shows this season just because we catch up on everything else. And when we wait, we end up going to Hulu and watching like seven episodes and catching up on that one. And I keep forgetting about the existence of the Muppets. Like I don't know what it is. And I mean, like, I've actively tried to see Supergirl, but CBS is stubborn and refuses to use Hulu, so I can't see that, despite, you know, what I've seen or heard about it. But, yeah, I keep forgetting about Muppets. I don't know why. Like,
that would be one to watch in a binge, because it would be very easy to just like let them all play, like just don't even have to hit next, just sit back, relax, and let them go. It would probably feel a lot better too, because you do kind of want more after just one episode. Even in the three that I've watched, I feel like I waited and I watched all three of them at once. I thought I was just going to sit down and watch one, but then I ended up watching all of them. And even then, you're only watching TV for like an hour, because they're the classic 22 minutes, you know,
half an hour
commercial sort of super tight sitcom sort of thing. And it's really it's adult. There's some one-liners in there where you're like, wow, that's dark. It's really, really dark. There's a point where Piggy will do anything to get her way. And then the next thing Kermit says is, I say a little prayer before I get in my car every day. It's like, wow. Because in the show, they're not together. Like, Kermit's dating somebody else and Piggy's off doing her own thing. And I think part of the charm of it is that they usually have like a human co-star that Piggy is rubbing off on. But yeah, it's an interesting show. I won't get into too much, because it's worth not having it spoiled for you and
oh, okay, cool. Stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Christmas specials, has anybody besides me seen the Bill Murray Netflix special yet?
I've got it bookmarked, but I haven't seen it. Oh, is it good?
It's very good. I mean, it's not going to be like the greatest thing you've ever seen or anything like that, but it's definitely a twist. It's not, your kids could watch it, but it's not necessarily directed at kids. Mm-hmm. It's a nice Christmas special for adults.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. It's really fun. It's like, and the interesting part is, I mean, not to spoil anything, but generally the premise is Bill Murray as himself is supposed to put on this Christmas special, and things start to go badly as the storm of snow happens. And it's really interesting. Like, the, you know, if you look on Netflix, unfortunately, you'll do those like panels where they'll show you clips from the thing you're about to watch. So that might spoil a few things. So if you can somehow close your eyes and navigate your way to the play button,
okay.
There might be some fun little surprises for you, but yeah,
I think it's like, what, an hour, 10 minutes or something like that.
And yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it's not like, it's not a big commitment. You can pretty easily get through it.
And before you know it, it's like, wow, it's over, but wow, I might actually rewatch this again. So,
mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like I know that at least on the Netflix that I have on the Apple TV, you can just press play right from the poster without going into anything, and it won't show you any panels. It'll just right into the show.
You lucky dog.
So you can do that. So I know it's hard though, because with like if you're online, you do get all those preview things that pop up, and especially with like Netflix produced shows, they tend to throw those straight up.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I missed it. Did you guys? Is it a Netflix show? Like, is it?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was paid for and written and created all by Netflix.
I love that they're attracting talent like Bill Murray. Like, that's
well, and it's also written and directed by Sofia Coppola, who did Lost in
Translation. Perfect. Right on.
So it's very much in that vein. If you liked Lost in Translation, it's very much the same idea, but with Bill Murray and Christmas.
So is the Bill Murray Christmas special for you, Lou, climbing the charts as one of your favorites?
It is. I mean, I wouldn't say it's number one. I still like Scrooge and Scrooged with Bill Murray, and that's kind of like my number one or number two, that and Christmas Vacation, but... the special, it's definitely moved itself up there in the top five. It's going to be a tradition in the Page House, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm looking for some new stuff. I tend to watch the same, well, and especially because I don't have cable. I tend to watch the same stuff over again because I've only got, you know, about a half dozen Christmas specials. Mm-hmm. I know we talked about it at length last year. On Comics Coast to Coast, we had Hammond on, actually, and we all talked about our favorite kind of animated Christmas specials and other stuff. Most of it was either animated or very kid-related, like Muppets, because we're all kind of in that same age range, so we were kind of going back to what was on television when we were kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was cool. Do you have any favorites, Sprocket?
Christmas specials or Christmas movies or just Christmas-related?
I don't know anything. Do you have like a favorite Christmas movie? We were talking about specials for a little bit there, but what is there a special film that you like?
I mean, honestly, even before, like, it's a tradition. Usually, if we have access to cable or TNT, we put on Christmas Story. I loved Christmas Story before mm-hmm. they did the 24 hours thing. It'll never get old to me. Like it's. I don't know if anybody's familiar with How I Met Your Mother, but there's an episode how this tape deck gets stuck in a car and it plays the same song over and over again. And the joke is that, you know, after so many miles, you get tired of it. But then after so many more miles, it comes back around and you love it again and it keeps going in cycles. Mm-hmm. Like the Christmas Story to me is like that, except like pretty much I never get tired of it. But there are certain scenes in it that I'm like, this is my least favorite of all the things, but usually, if I can always see his disappointment at the Ovaltine scene, because my dad and I would quote that to each other all the time. A crummy commercial, son of a bitch. We say that all the time to each other. If I can see that part of it, it's good. But Scrooge is great. I love Scrooge. As a kid, it scared the poop out of me with the friggin'. TV death and then all the like little minion creatures in his folds. It's terrifying.
It's really funny, but I never got how dark it was until I was an adult. I loved it as a kid. And then as a teenager, I rewatched it and went, wow, my mother let me watch this as a kid. This is really dark and disturbing. How did I not have nightmares?
Exactly. Yeah. And like one of the saddest scenes is when I'm losing her name, but Karen Allen, when she has the whole like black and white, like that was so boring to me as a kid, but as an adult I'm like, that's so like sad and depressing, like she's just like so aloof in that weird future scene, and the kids in the mental institution, like those scenes are like really disturbing the older you get. You're like,
ooh. They are, and it's one of those interesting films that the more you watch it, the more you go, I can't believe somebody got away with making this. They would never make this now.
Yeah. It would be either too safe or it'd be like Johnny Knoxville, and halfway through it'd be a lot of like poop jokes.
Yep.
Yeah. For me, the ones that I find that ring true but are really not as good as I remember them as a kid, there's one about Gideon the Angel. Do you guys remember this? It was a TV movie.
Oh, no.
You don't remember that, or you know what I'm talking about?
No, I gotta look it up, though.
Yeah, Gideon the Angel was the character. And he was in Avengers. He was the guy that told the Hulk that he's got a problem when he comes through the roof of the hangar, and he's changed back. He's like, "You have what did he say? You have a condition." He's like a security guard or something. He's talking about the pigeons. But yeah, that actor played an angel, and it was like this really dark story with like Mary Steenburgen and like
Magic Christmas.
That's it. That's the one.
Goodness. Yeah, Walt Disney Pictures.
Yeah, it's not a happy. It's all gray. It's all like you kind of expect it to be like a Law and Order SVU episode. It's really kind of dark. Ryan Murphy from The Gamers Inn is here. Ryan, do you remember The Magic Christmas?
The Magic of Christmas or one The Magic
Christmas? One Magic Christmas, the Disney movie that used to be on TV all the time.
Are we talking about The Magic Christmas The Gathering?
No.
I don't know. You know what? When it comes to obscure Christmas movies, it's Ernest Saves Christmas all the way. I mean, I
saw that in theater.
you saw that in theater?
I did.
I don't think I think Jim Varney was big before. I think he had just passed away, like as a kid at that prime age of watching the Ernest films. But no, I've never seen the Miracle of Christmas. I don't watch a lot of Christmas films. You've kind of got your go-tos, and then that one sounds interesting, though.
Yeah, we were discussing the new Bill Murray special on Netflix before you popped on. Have you seen that?
Ooh, I got it's good, like background like movie. I've watched maybe the first half of it, and it was, I don't know, it's just kind of depressing. Like, it's sad. I feel bad.
This is where we differ, Ryan. I didn't find it sad at all.
Is it because Bill Murray is a millionaire? Is that what did it for you? Like, you just kind of think, like, yeah. I don't know, maybe. Like, I just felt like it was super sad. Like, he kidnapped Chris Rock, and then Chris Rock escaped somehow. And
that bit was cute, though, when they had to do the weird drummer boy song together. Oh.
It was cute, but he was being held against his will, wasn't he? Like, that was pretty
cool.
Yeah,
it was.
It was all in fun, though. You could tell that it's as serious as they were trying to act. It was at least it unintentionally, they were trying not to laugh. You could tell.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to that show and getting halfway through it, the interesting piece is like the real actors and then like the actors playing characters you know, like Michael Cera isn't Bill Murray's friend, but they you know, there was enough in the budget that they could pay him to act as his manager. It's like no, it's like, oh, Michael Cera, I get to be in a Bill Murray special and I get to be Bill Murray's friend. It's like, no, you're the manager, you know,
that
you
he hates.
Yeah, you get paid though. I mean, that's a bonus, right? I'm sure everybody else
was just show up. Yeah,
yeah, just as a favor. But no, I haven't finished it yet. I probably will finish it just because, I don't know, I have this like weird principle with Netflix, like with their originals. It's just like, just watch them all, like, and get through them and show them that they're doing the right thing and just support that model, you know. Watch all of Arrest Development. I just haven't finished the Christmas Murray special or whatever, but I'm looking forward to it. I need to watch some Christmas stuff. I haven't watched any Christmas stuff at all. Yeah.
I think that to me is going to happen. That's going to happen like next weekend. I've got two Christmas parties coming up this weekend, and one of them is like a family friendly neighbor thing. So that's going to be over kind of early. So I'll probably end up coming home and watching some Christmas specials on Saturday. Sunday is probably going to be a later night. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but I tend to, put them on or, watch them really close to Christmas. I feel like I watch the Muppet Family Christmas on Christmas Eve.
Oh,
that tends to be when I watch that. But yeah, that's it. Yeah. So who are we losing? I can't. Somebody said that they had to go. I think it's you, Lou.
That's me. I gotta go.
Right on, man. Well, thanks for stopping by.
No problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
Cheers, man.
Happy holidays.
Best to the missus and Merry Christmas.
See you, Lou.
See you later. Yeah, we kind of have a rotating door here on the Citadel Cafe tonight. So if you're in the chat room and you want to give us a call, make sure Skype is up to date and drop me a line and we can add you in. Just kind of send me a DM with your Skype handle. I think Sam is out for the count. She seems like she's had a busy evening already. But But so, Ryan, are you busy this Christmas? You got a big family thing going on at the farm?
You know, it's funny. Christmas is one of those things where it's like it's super crazy busy at work as everybody's preparing to get everything done before the holidays, mm-hmm. which I like because it just allows everybody to put their head down, worry about their work, and get to Christmas Eve, you know? So that's, I mean, that's not necessarily my favorite part about Christmas. I'm just explaining my favorite part about working in the month of December. I mean, if you work retail, like, that does not apply, but which is unfortunate.
Nope.
No, in terms of Christmas plans, I guess Christmas Eve we do our little shindig of getting together, and we used to have Chinese food, but I think we do potluck now. So we just sort of all gather and bring a bunch of food, and you know, you make it home, and that sort of thing. nice. You know, I don't. I always make it home because I'm a responsible adult. But you know, some people have to get rides, and everyone's responsible on that front. It's just a lot of people, you know, maybe enjoy the Christmas spirits a little more than others. We won't name names. And then Christmas Day is basically, you know, chill. This year is going to be so relaxed, I can tell you that much. I'm going to be so relaxed because next year will be very different.
That's right.
You know? Yeah, because the kid's on the way. The kid's just missing Christmas, so he'll be he or she. That's not a hint. He or she will be arriving in January, so they're gonna miss their first Christmas will be spent inside mummy's belly, and then yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Then we go and visit the family, my family back home after Boxing Day, after we've spent money, I guess, if there's any good sales.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, like, now that everybody's so conditioned for, you know, Black Friday, and thank you, by the way, America, for that. And because that was never a thing in Canada until the last couple of years.
We're fighting against it, just like the war on Christmas. The other people are the war on Black Friday now. It's like the opposite.
Yeah.
Another war?
Yeah.
You guys should finish the one on Christmas before you start another one with Boxing Day.
Yeah. We have wars on all fronts.
Oh, well.
Every front, there's a war.
We have the same sort of interactions with, we don't have a war on Christmas in Canada, but there is like that politically correct conversation of people working in a storefront that want to wish people a Merry Christmas, and sometimes the upper echelon will say, no, we need to be more inclusive, which is fine. And I think that's great. I don't think there should ever be anyone ever saying there's a war on Christmas. I think that's a little ridiculous. But you know what? It's all just, it's all green. It's all red. It's some sparkles. I think that's pretty general. You know, I think it's great.
Yeah. The thing that I find so interesting is that everybody's on to the whole Boxing Day sales and that sort of thing. So, I mean, as I've gotten older, there tends to be more gift cards at Christmas time because, like, if there's a thing that you really want and it's in the realm of technology, video games, I'm trying to think about other things that tend to go on sale on Boxing Day, sometimes clothes, but like you could go out and get, it's better to go out and either make something or buy a thoughtful gift that no one would ever really put on their wish list and give that for Christmas, and then do stocking stuffers with like cards, because you're just going to go out and save a huge amount of money, you know, in Boxing Day sales, you know, and at least here in Nova Scotia, thankfully this hasn't caught on. We still have nothing is open on the 26th, like 25th and the 26th. There's nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The only thing open on the 26th is drugstores. That's it.
Oh, see, everything's sort of open here in Ontario on Boxing Day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the beauty of Black Friday, the one silver lining of Black Friday coming through over here, obviously, now my wife and her family don't have to travel to Detroit to go shopping, or where is it, Buffalo or something. But they can, it brings the sales here, but also lessens the craziness that is Boxing Day. Of course, like, there's going to be those people who will shop the same deals. I think the off chances of seeing, you know, any extra deals on Boxing Day 1 month later is going to be kicking themselves when they wonder, like, oh, I'll just wait for Boxing Day. It's like, oh, it's discounted to the same price. Besides, I buy everything online. Like, There's no way. I think Ashley got up at 4 a.m. to go Black Friday Day shopping.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh. Yeah. I just woke up and turned my iPhone on. And that was at like 9 a.m.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine. I've got this little visual in my head of little baby Murphy putting the pedal to the metal on the bladder saying, go, mama, go. Time to save.
Well, see, that's sort of the time frame we're in now is babies always got pedal to the metal on the bladder because it's that time, you know, where it's like, oh, I got to go pee. It's like, you just went. Like, now I have to pause.
We're not making fun of pregnancy.
No, Ashley.
Who is growing a human inside of her. We would never do that.
I'm just bringing light to what's happening right now because I haven't recorded an episode of So I Married a Podcaster in like 3 months. She's still pregnant. She's doing fantastic. She's doing better than I am. And I don't even have an excuse, you know.
I think that'd be a fun drinking game. Get her on the podcast right before she's due. And just, you know, every time she has to go pee, everybody has to drink.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, like, she's not allowed to play.
She's just going to keep peeing. She breaks the seal every 4 seconds.
She's doing really well. And I told her I'm taking parental leave. And I told her, okay, to start training me, you have to wake me up every time you go pee. And I asked in the morning this morning I asked like, well, you didn't wake me up. Did you not have to go pee? And it's like, well, no, you went to bed at like 1:30 in the morning and I was up playing Heroes of the Storm with Dills and Bo and John and a couple, I think Eric as well. And I lost track of time and beer, but so she didn't wake me up. She's like, well, you were up till 1:30. And it's like, well, if I am up till 1:30, like I still have to get up for the baby, right? Like there's no, like might as well start our training. This is the best worst case scenario we could train for here.
Yeah. Baby Murphy is not going to give a crap about Heroes of the Storm or how many beers you've had.
Well, not for a while, right?
No.
For like, what is it? 2-3 years you can start introducing them to video games. That works.
Something like that. I don't know. Hearthstone, math skills, critical thinking, talk to Hammond. I think Sadie's, I think she's 10. Mm-hmm. Sydney's 10. So yeah. Which is a good age for Hearthstone. I don't know about 3. They might be a little
I'm just kidding. I think really when it comes to video games, it'll be a while.
You're champing at the bit.
No, not really. No. I mean, I enjoy playing video games with other people, and I am certainly looking forward to that moment when you get to share that hobby with your kids, just like anybody else, like Star Wars or their Doctor Who or, you know, Lord of the Rings or whatever. But I mean, luckily enough for video games, there are video games for very young ages, so I can probably start sharing that hobby sooner than, say, someone who's a big aficionado of Rocky Horror Picture Show or something.
Yeah.
Model airplanes, yeah. Anything with sharp blades that move, really. Like hockey.
Yeah.
You probably start hockey earlier than, I don't know, fencing.
Around here, the hockey starts early. Like
yeah,
5?
You gotta get Hockey Island going.
I don't know if we'll do hockey. I never did hockey as a kid. I did everything else except for the expensive sports where you had to buy a bunch of gear.
Right.
So hockey, football were out, and then rugby was out also because, you know, it was too dangerous.
Yeah, because you know pain. That's never good. I'm picturing like Hockey Island with, you know, a goalie named Piggy with the helmet on the stick.
Yeah.
I think it'd be perfect.
Brockett,
I know that you play video games sometimes when you have a chance. Do you have any games on your Christmas list?
Oh man, I recently have gotten caught up on all the ones I had saved from Gold or PS Plus or whatever, and I got some on deals, and I finished the Walking Dead season 1 along with the DLC for that, so that was fun. Even Laura, who I constantly am like, hey, you want to sit down and watch me play video games? She's like, it's not interesting. And I'm like, damn it. But she actually watched and tried to make choices in that with me because she could pretty much just tell me what to say or whatever. And then Darksiders 2 I started, Tales of the Borderlands I got, and Lego Batman 3 also on sale. And then I have to start the Uncharted because a bunch of friends have those. I mean, I got a PS3 for the first time, I think, not two Black Fridays ago, and last year it was the Wii U, and this year there's no systems, as my wife has said. So I did actually, as of last night, buy Cloud for Smash Brothers, so I also have him to play with. So there's a lot of like little video games I'd like to put my fingers in over whatever days off I can get during this season.
Because you're a big Smash Brothers guy, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I really like Smash Brothers quite a bit. I haven't, but friggin' never play with Cal Ferguson. I don't know if you're, Ryan, if you're super, you're like a super, just pick up a video game and in like 5 seconds you've like mastered it and everyone's like, how did you do this?
Not really.
But Kyle, I play Smash. I made the mistake of playing Smash Brothers with him, and he's the type of person that's like, he closes his eyes, you pick a player for him on Smash Brothers, and he just beats the crap out of you. And I like tried to do that with the new one, so I haven't really nailed down my characters as I have in the past. But it's been crazy the model Nintendo has sort of taken on with the whole allowing DLC to become part of its business now, with particularly with the success of Smash Brothers and all the special DLCs. I mean, they got all my money. I pretty much bought all of it except for costumes. But yeah, that's been sort of fun. And that's also with the Wii U, the fun thing is I can actually kind of do that on a pad while Laura is watching something else or whatever.
Yeah, that Smash, the way that they've supported Smash has been amazing, because usually when a Smash game comes out, it's like, this has got to be the best Smash for the next 5 years.
Right,
exactly. And as soon as it's done, it's like, now I wait. And with this one, it's been like, this is the best Smash plus little driplets of content for the last year, where we got, you know, big moments like Ryu from Street Fighter, like you mentioned, Cloud from Final Fantasy. We're getting Bayonetta in February, yet another Fire Emblem character.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but he does look unique enough that it's like just not another guy with a sword. But I was really hoping for Banjo-Kazooie, but that might have been a pipe dream.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoy Smash. I was playing as Cloud just this afternoon, and he feels great. And I never played Final Fantasy VII, but it feels like that's a pretty close and faithful rendition of that character.
Right, yeah.
And the price can't be beat. I mean, I know a lot of people complain, but you're buying, here in Canada, I think in the States it's like maybe $7.99.
It's $5.99 for Cloud in the stage alone.
Right, and then $6.99 if you want him on 3DS as well, correct?
Yeah.
So add about $1 for the Canadian. So $7.99 for a character on two systems and a stage. And the stages are usually at least his stage is pretty phenomenal. It's like,
yeah,
there's a lot going on, and it's really cool. And again, super faithful to the franchise. Smash has really nailed it. But you almost kind of wish they would support it forever. And I know that's very selfish, because like at a certain point, if Nintendo's not selling enough of them, they gonna have to move on, just like any other franchise. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really digging Smash. I wish the Wii U had a stronger holiday lineup, or a holiday lineup at all. Although I haven't played Xenoblade Chronicles X, but it's been kind of quiet across the board this holiday. Except for maybe Tomb Raider on the Xbox One, but
Heroes still has their big sale on too. I played a little bit at lunchtime today, and I was surprised. I thought with the patch on Tuesday that the pre-holiday sales would disappear, but they did not. And you mentioned I know you've got a jet, because the Gamers Inn is coming up at the top of the hour. But like, have you been playing a lot of Heroes? Because I mean, the people that you just listed that you were buddying around with in Heroes are extremely good players, and I would be like, I'm not ready to play with you guys.
Well, the beauty of playing with people who know what they're doing is that you can kind of get away with just like when I play with people who obviously know what they're doing, I just say out loud like, okay, I'm new in comparison to what you guys are doing. So just, if I'm doing something wrong or doing something that I shouldn't be doing or need to do something, just politely tell me and I'll go do it. And when I'm playing with those type of people, I usually pick a character that I know well. So I was playing as Sylvanas.
Nice.
who I adore in that game, and I need to get the Sugar Plum Fairy
outfit. I saw that today.
I was just sort of playing, and I had said to Bo, just, oh, you know, if there's an open slot, let me know. And I was about to log off around midnight, and he's like, Skype call incoming. And I'm like, oh, cool. So we played for another hour and a half, and it's just a lot of fun playing with people who kind of know the mechanics, and that game works really well with people who know the mechanics, because it's kind of just like, it's easy to explain, to just kind of, oh, go do this or follow me here, or, you know, sometimes it's just don't die, you know, do whatever you can, just don't die, and it's like perfect. And I really enjoy that, whereas in other MOBAs it can be tough to play with other people. Mm-hmm. And they can kind of it can get a little salty, but I think with Heroes of the Storm, it can get pretty, it's just calm, cool, and collected, and we had fun. We lost one and won a couple, but we had fun no matter what. So, yeah, Heroes has been a lot of fun, and I just sort of play with whoever's around, and I highly recommend playing with other people. I was doing some solo queue, and it's no fun to lose alone.
No. I have...
Misery loves company.
The only time I do any solo queue is... when I'm trying to level up a character to 5 or just get enough, kind of get a handle on something. And then I'll say, okay, I'm pretty comfortable with Jaina. I'm ready to play with friends and not completely embarrass myself and go from there. And I feel like that tends to be a good way for me to play it. But I find that with A-Move and Into the Nexus and now Frog Pants having a community on Heroes, it's really easy to not have to solo. Like, you can pop on just about any time of day and at least have one or two other people to do a QM with. But so for people that are looking to find you, you're doing GamersInPodcast.com, live on Twitch in a few minutes. And you guys are on Channel 2 on Alpha Geek Radio?
We're not currently streaming on Alpha Geek this month, just because I had some prenatal classes to go to, so it kind of threw
the schedule off. That's right.
So that's why we're recording at 9. But if you go to twitch.tv/amovetv right after this, I will be kind of starting there, talking about the video games episode 198. Oh my God, we got to start thinking about what we're gonna do for 200.
Coming up on 200.
I think we might just do an episode 200. Or maybe we'll skip it. We'll just go from 199 to 201.
Confuse everybody.
And be like...
keep referencing it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just the best episode. Yeah. It's just too bad we lost.
Episode 200 is DLC.
Yeah. Pay to win. Nice.
Enjoy the show. Tell Jocelyn we said hi, and we'll see you guys later.
All right, you guys have a good night. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Cheers, man. All right. Well, I guess that leaves you and I, Brock, to discuss the giant elephant in the room, which is the fact that Star Wars premieres tomorrow.
Yeah.
In most places in the world. You will not see it until when?
I will see it Sunday.
Sunday. Wow. So almost as late as I have to wait. I have to wait until at least Monday or Tuesday. I'm thinking
you have to wait a full week then.
Almost. I'm already kind of very... tentatively going online to do things. Like, if I'm going on Twitter, I'm not reading, I'm just posting. Same with Facebook. I'm trying to not see anything, because Facebook is so visual. Like, there's so many images. Like, it's just going to take one asshat and you're done, right? Yeah. So I apologize to all of my social media friends for me broadcast only for the next little while until I can at least see Star Wars. I'm hoping that given my freelance schedule during the week and the very tired Joel that's going to be happening on Monday, given the holiday parties that I'm going to be going to this weekend. I'm going to see it hopefully at a matinee on Monday, which means there'll be nobody around. I can go see, you know, a regular 2D, non-3D version and just kind of go from there. I have to say, I don't know whether it's because the new Star Wars movie is on the modern hype train that is movie releases right now, but I'm not nearly as excited for this as I was with episode 1, 2, 3. Even 3, I was really excited to see. And this, I'm just like, I'll see it when I see it. The only thing that's pressing me to go see it as fast as I can is the internet spoilers. It's not me dying to know what happens, right?
Isn't it crazy that even just, I'm going to have to look it up, but like, when episode 1 came out, that the presence of social media still hadn't grown strong. 1999. So 2000. So in less than, I guess it's 15 years. But let's just ballpark it at a decade. Like, within a decade, it took you know, now the release is just like, yeah, there's so much spoilers. And to your point, I was, and I mean, okay, I love Disney that now owns Star Wars. I love that the fact that, you know, at some point I will be able to have Mickey Mouse, you know, Thor and Donald as Luke Skywalker standing next to each other. Those types of things are all very cool. But, and fingers crossed, Kingdom Hearts brings in Star Wars and Marvel at some point.
Well,
but,
you've got Disney Infinity if you want to wet your whistle on stuff like that.
Yeah, but see, Joel, I can't because the wife here already was like, when I wanted Magic the Gathering cards, she's like, you're paying how much for bits of cardboard? And I'm like, no, no, you don't understand. I still play them with friends. And she's like, no, no. Because you keep buying more of them. So I own like five Amiibos just because I like the figurines for the Wii U and I can use them to like fight against in Smash Brothers. But the idea that I could actually culminate a miniature collection that's physically taking up space as well as taking up my time would probably not go over well. That's something I'll have to wait until I have my own children so I can like use them as an excuse.
Yes, there you go.
But man, the machine, the synergy machine that is modern culture, especially when backed by Disney, like you have Star Wars soup cans that are supposed to be collectible and, you know, mac and cheese. You have like the Star Wars Band-Aids. And this is the thing, like Star Wars was big enough that you had like SpongeBob next to Star Wars Band-Aids. And Star Wars has been around with Clone Wars and stuff. But it's like, guess what? We now have a new line of Star Wars stuff for just Force Awakening. So you know they cleared the shelves of the old stuff, got in new things. And my favorite is, and Laura's not here, but I'm really, really hoping to get it just as sort of a gag. Because she actually, Star Wars is one of the few things she's sort of nerdy about. I can't really get her to get, you know, she'll see the Harry Potter films and she liked those and she will see the Marvel films, but like Star Wars is something that she was like, I really, really want to see this, opening weekend. So I'm like, great. But, Star Wars makeup is a thing where you can pick, have you seen anything about this? Okay. Do yourself a favor, look it up. You can pick light side or you can pick dark side.
Oh my God.
And is these models that you have, I mean, I imagine the life of a model is already very strange, but can you imagine walking on set and then being like, okay, for today's CoverGirl shoot, you're not only going to be in makeup that's very harsh with lighting, but we're also basically going to be selling this to nerds. And they're like, what's nerds? What's Star Wars? Like, I mean, like, I'm sure, you know, wow. I'm sure they know what Star Wars is.
Yep, CoverGirl, Star Wars, The Force Awakens makeup.
My joke is that I'm going to get Laura the droid set so that she can look like a robot.
That's amazing. Yeah, choose your side. Which side are you on? Light side or dark side?
But that's, I mean, if that's not a point for what you're saying, like it's being crammed down your throat so hard, you don't have enough time, Joel, to say, I'm excited for this film because the world has told you through advertising, you're excited for this film.
Well, that's the thing. It hasn't, because all of the things that it's advertising, I'm not interested in. and I should say that I'm a little disappointed in the one thing that I thought was going to be like, all right, I might cave to the Star Wars merchandising machine and buy Star Wars Lego. Because it's always been a thing. It's always been an attraction for me. But The Force Awakens Lego, at first I'm just like, oh, I don't want to look because I don't want any spoilers. But like all the things that are currently in Star Wars Lego are all for Force Awakens are all in the trailer. So it was not anything big. But it's all pretty drab. Like there's the Force Awakens stuff is boring. And it could be because they don't want to have any big reveals on the toy shelf. They would much prefer that to happen in the movie. And then they can release a second line of toys when the merchandising train is really on the go, which is odd because you'd think that they would have bigger toys out next, like before Christmas. But like the bad guy ship, Some of the stormtrooper stuff, it's all gray, it's all shapeless, it's all it doesn't really read very well as a Lego toy. I mean, it looks neat on the trailer because it's dark and foreboding and evil and angular, and that's what the Empire is. But the only Empire stuff that I see on the Lego shelf that is new this Christmas is actually from the original series or Clone Wars. So there's one. It's an ATDP, I think, or ATTP. It's the predecessor to the Scout Walker, and that's a cool little thing. I say little; it's like a $60 set. But then the other one, and it's not a big thing because Lego is crazy expensive in Canada. I'm sure it's expensive everywhere, but it's expensive in Canada. And the other one is it's a little over $100, I think, or close to it, $119, I think, and it's the Imperial Shuttle Tidarium. From Return of the Jedi, the one that they steal to go down to Endor.
Oh, nice.
And you can't get the previous Imperial Shuttle, which was just an Imperial Shuttle, and it was the one that Vader used to go back and forth between Star Destroyers. So it didn't have a name. It was just like a basic one.
Yeah.
And that you can't get anymore. I checked online. If you find that, that's like $800 because it's like a collectible. But $120 for the Tidarium. And I would argue that even though it's a smaller set, like physically it's a smaller thing, it looks better. Like it has more closed off pieces. It looks more like a finished toy when it's done. But those, like, that's the only Star Wars stuff that I've been just kind of like, ooh, okay. the train has spoken to Joel. I could get on board that train. But everything else, like I'm avoiding posters. I'm avoiding trailers. I didn't see that extended international trailer. Like I saw the two trailers, the teaser that had everybody at the edge of their seats with the Swiss Army lightsaber. And then I saw the other trailer that made everybody that's over 25 tear up. Like those are the two that I've seen. I've seen them a number of times, but that's it. You know, and I think there might've been one interview with Harrison Ford on Jimmy Kimmel on the Tonight Show with Fallon.
Yeah.
But he said nothing. Fallon was just basically poking him with a stick and he was just looking at him like complete deadpan and saying zero.
That's what all of them are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool.
Yeah. If you see it, once you see Star Wars, go back. She doesn't spoil anything in them, but there have been some absolutely priceless Carrie Fisher interviews.
Oh, really?
It's just because of her personality is essentially boiled down to, I could care less. Like, not in a sense of like, I'm sorry, not I could care less, but more just like, you know, like, I'm just honest, you know, and I'm not like gonna go crazy or whatever. I mean, the good part about, I guess you could say, Harrison Ford currently is that he still acts so cool that he doesn't like, he's not like, you know, like I love Tom Hanks, but Tom Hanks would kind of Tom Hanks it up if they talk about his films. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford pretty much is like, I'm a bigger deal than Indiana Jones or Han Solo ever was. You know, he sort of has the personality. Carrie Fisher is not that, but she is very much like honest and like people will try and talk to her about the old days. And she just kind of like, it's definitely not. I talked to somebody before I came on to interview. They told me what I should say. Like she just lets it flow. And it's not like spoiler because really and truly she doesn't spoil anything, but she just absolutely has a real conversation. It's never like, oh, George was so funny on set, or oh, that Mark Hamill used to put, you know, Windex on my, on, you know, pull pranks on stuff, you know, like it's not that sort of like, you know, filler you see from interviews. She just literally obviously has lived life and has gone through some crap. Some like rehab things, and it just like been through the ringer of years of pretty much promoting movies that, you know, are well beyond the career she is remotely has now. But man, it's enjoyable. Like I watch those the way I would watch like a good interview. So they're not really super tied to Star Wars other than the fact, of course, that they bring up her time on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is she still acting outside of Star Wars, or does she have another career? Like,
No, not really. I mean, she's done, as far as I know, she's only done bit things here and there, and I think most of the time she's been on the, you know, the con circuits. But unlike Mark Hamill, who, you know, is
voice acting,
the master of voice acting, and Harrison Ford, who just, you know, Harrison Ford's around now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just sort of a caricature of himself.
He is, yeah. I preferred his work when he was younger. I'm sure he'll do, you know, I'm sure he'll do justice to Han Solo and stuff, but I feel like a lot of his stuff lately has been pretty, I don't know, uninspired.
Yeah, he's just, it looks like, honestly, Carrie Fisher has done just a lot of random crap, sort of just a bunch of junk. And of course, she always shows up as Carrie Fisher or as like a random cameo.
Yeah, like on Big Bang Theory or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's literally, yeah. So, but yeah, I think Harrison Ford is just sort of, the thing is, unfortunately for Harrison Ford, he hasn't gone a route that I feel like some people don't like that De Niro's gone, which is like, I used to be such a tough guy, but now I embrace the fact that I'm old. I do movies like The Intern. I do movies like Meet the Fockers. Like, you don't really see that from Harrison Ford. Like, he's still trying to be like Mr. Action Guy, but I'm old. Like, you know, and I don't think that's worked since Air Force One. Like, that was the last great Harrison Ford action movie.
What I'm trying to remember what I saw him last. I think it was Ender's Game.
Yeah, and he was like, he just seemed to be mad in that movie. Like, he was
that
mad
wasn't a good movie anyway.
In that movie, oh, you didn't like it?
No, I wasn't a fan. I didn't come to it having read the book, so like I wasn't.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I wasn't a big book fan. I mean, I shouldn't say it wasn't terrible, but it just, for whatever reason, it wasn't really my thing. I kind of feel, which is weird because like I went to the first Harry Potter movie having not read the books and really enjoyed that. So, you know, and it, that kind of
read them since, correct?
No, I have not.
Oh, Joel, you're murdering me.
I'm gonna put that on my to-do list of the other 1,000 things I have to do. Although I have to say I have been reading. I've been enjoying quite a bit. I am a slow reader and I don't have a lot of time. I tend to get like one chapter a night now. But I'm reading War Crimes, which is a Warcraft book by Christy Golden, which I've mentioned on this show before. And around when I first mentioned it was probably sometime in the summer.
I think the last time you mentioned it, I was on the show.
Yeah. So it was, I was reading Sunday evenings outside in the park and then the weather shifted here and it got crappy and I didn't do that anymore. And I had a big stint kind of September, October where I was just stupid busy and I didn't do it. And then I started bringing the book around with me more often. I would read on breaks and things like that. I can't read on the bus. It's the one thing I wish I could do. I wish I could read on the bus, but I get motion sick if I look down.
Yeah.
So I can't do it. And I wanted to keep this one as a book. I've got a couple of audiobooks on the go, but they're all kind of like business related marketing things that I'm curious about. So that I listen to on the bus where I've got, the other thing for pleasure and I'm almost done. I'm really close to finishing it up. And then I don't know what I'm going to read next. So I guess maybe it's Harry Potter, but, I'm enjoying the Warcraft books. I mean, I might hunt around with some listeners and some fans on Twitter and see what book I should read next in the Warcraft universe. I did enjoy Christy Golden. I like her writing style. I hear Knack is kind of a acquired taste. The guy that writes the other Warcraft books, but I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Have you read any of them?
Warcraft books?
Yeah.
No, in fact, I just saw the trailer for Warcraft, I think like a week and a half ago, like the movie trailer.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
The thing that bothered me, honestly, about the movie thing is like I got Warcraft 2 game like on like 5 discs that my buddy burned off of his thing. And we like, meticulously worked them in this. Like it was like this thing because it was like on Mac too. And my buddy like had to go through all these hoops to like make it work on Mac because, you know, Mac was never supported back before, you know, before Apple became Apple and it was just Mac. But yeah, going back to that level of Warcraft, like I got Warcraft 3 and I was interested in it mostly because I liked the hero characters and like being able to control those, like Jada and Arthas, and then, you know, those types of guys, and then eventually Thrall and stuff. But it never translated really into World of Warcraft and all that sort of stuff. But it was enough that I'm like, so the new Warcraft film is just Alliance and Horde. I'm like already kind of like I want to see. I'm already kind of like, I'll just wait until the sequel comes out when they bring in the other more interesting
version. I think the idea too is that the little green baby in the movie trailer, that's Thrall.
Yeah.
From what I can tell, because that's, I think it's Durotan is the young kind of strapping guy. That's his dad.
Yeah.
The only reason I know that is because I'm currently playing Draenor. Like, I'm going through Warlords. It's one of those opportunities where I am coming to the expansion like damn near a year late, having bought it in April, barely played it this summer, and then now having finally, you know, set aside my Sunday nights to play either Heroes or Warcraft, depending on what I want. And I've gone through the first zone, and I know the story. Like, I'm familiar with the characters and stuff like that. And I may, because Blizzard has said they're not releasing what's the new one? Demon something? Wow, I'm blanking on the name
Demon
of the next
Christmas.
Demon Christmas.
Demons, the War on Christmas.
No, World of Warcraft. What's the name of the new expansion? Why am I blanking on this?
World of Warcraft expansion.
Legion. It's called Legion. Yeah. Oh. So that doesn't come out until next summer. So I actually have time to finish Draenor before it comes out. This War Crimes book that I've been reading is all kind of in between Pandaria and Draenor, so it kind of leads into essentially that cinematic trailer right before Draenor. So it's really kind of cool to see everything tie together. And I think, I don't know if there's been, I know there's been other books that happened in between expansions, but like this one was released leading up to the Draenor expansion. And a lot of people were reading it at that time saying, oh gosh, like what's happened? Like, I have to know before I start to play this game. It's been cool. It's been pretty fast paced as a result, because it's meant as a primer. Like, it's the whole book is almost like a trailer for setting the political stage for Draenor. Which is really neat. But the Warcraft movie, I don't know. I it looks good. I feel like as a Warcraft nerd, I should be more excited, but I'm not. Kind of like I don't know what it is these days about, you know, the movies that I'm not super excited about.
Warcraft. I think the director is interesting. It's exciting because, you know, everyone likes Duncan Jones, his work with Moon, his work with, Jake Gyllenhaal one. And, it's on a train, Source Code, which I never saw, but apparently it's phenomenal, except for the last 5 minutes in which the studio ruined the ending. But like, I just look at it and I'm like, okay, I have very limited Blizzard. Like, of all of you guys, you know, like, I haven't touched Heroes of Storms. I never played StarCraft 2, just barely played 1. You know, like, Diablo was the only Blizzard game that I'm, like, fervently, like, excited about, because I love, you know, the RPGs and just, like, the hack and slash elements of that, but none of the other ones. But, like, I know enough to know that Blizzard, when they make a cutscene, it's one of the most gorgeous things. And I watch the trailer and I'm like, I wonder, is Blizzard doing the effects for this? Because if they aren't, I already am kind of afraid, because like, it's one of those things where I legitimately would think, like, when Disney acquired Marvel, I thought, can you imagine how amazing it would look and feel if Pixar could do a Marvel superhero movie? And, you know, like, Disney did Big Hero 6, but that was actually Disney Studios, not Pixar. Mm-hmm. But, like, I would just think Warcraft, like, you know, obviously Blizzard has a lot on their plate. They're this, you know, Heroes of the Storm, all these ambitious projects, they've really exploded since World of Warcraft. But, like, I don't know. Like, I obviously they can't put together a what? How long is this movie supposed to be? And, they haven't posted it yet, but I'm sure it's over 2 hours. Like,
I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, and even though it's not all CGI, like, I mean, it's kind of like if you, like, Pixar made a video game and then somebody's like, let's make this movie made by a company that uses computer-generated images and makes really great cutscenes, but then not use them to make the cutscene. Like, I don't know. That part of it is a disconnect for me.
Yeah.
But I understand it's a totally different beast to make movies and to make video games. Like, it's a totally different beast.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those cinematics are small films. Like, they're beautiful.
Exactly.
I would argue the fact that it's probably it's probably way more work than anybody can really comprehend just to put together a 5-minute trailer.
Yeah.
I think a feature film makes people's head explode. You know, if, like, yeah. I mean, everybody says it. Oh yeah, I would totally watch a Blizzard feature film made by the trailer, the cinema people, or the cinematic people. But if any of them actually sat down to try and figure that out, I'm sure it's just like insta death. Like they're just like, nope, no. They'd be working on it for years, like 20 years probably. It seems like it's a lot of work. I'm with you. I feel like the orcs looked really good because they're huge, which is cool. Like it just, they're not gorillas. They're not the Hulk. Like there's something else entirely, which I really enjoy. I'm not sure how they're going to work the whole English thing because I kind of thought that the orcs would be speaking something else. Because it does look kind of funny when they're speaking with these giant tusks and stuff. But the scenes that caught me were like the scenes on the back of a griffin and a lot of the special effects in the human areas seemed kind of weak.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And it's not like I'm a pro. It's not like I can do it better than they can. But you know, the quality of movies in the last 5 years has turned us all into very, specific kind of error hunting critics when it comes to visual effects, because there's a certain magic that happens when you're no longer watching a movie going, wow, that's like a really cool special effect. Happened a lot in the Lord of the Rings for me, even though a lot of that stuff looks a little bit dated now, but at the time, I wasn't at all thinking about how they did it. I was just kind of going, whoa, that looks really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like hopefully Star Wars, you know, hopefully Warcraft will pull that out. But some of the stuff where I'm just like, oh, that kind of looks like Narnia from 10 years ago. You know?
Yeah. Which, I mean, like the first Narnia, huge fan of, because they did a great job of mixing, you know, Aslan, who looked gorgeous. I mean, obviously it was fake, but like it was such a hyper realistic version of what a lion would look like, that because Aslan essentially is God or Jesus, you know, but like he is a supreme divine sort of presence that worked. And then you had people actually in full makeup being the Minotaurs and the monsters. Like that was a great mix of all that, same way Lord of the Rings did. And then it sort of got away from it with the sequels, unfortunately. But
yeah, I agree.
But to your point about the Legos and Star Wars and all this stuff, is it seems like J.J. Abrams has truly embraced the idea, which I think pretty much almost everyone would agree is the smart idea, which is to do, you know, just make it like the original series, as much that you can put your hands on, like practical effects, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always lend to like really exciting toys when, you know, you look back at the original series and you're like, oh, that's right, because they had no money. Everything was like boxes with just sticks coming out of it. But when it comes to putting together like a movie that feels real, and you know how people for years have always, like the writers of Battlestar Galactica said, you know, like they wanted it to feel real. Like they wanted you to see the dirt and the walls and the feel grit. Like you're on a, like an actual spaceship that's been lived in. You know, it's not like Star Trek where people poop and it's magically doesn't, you know, nobody knows where toilets are.
I feel like the my favorite joke about that is from Demolition Man, the three seashells.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where does like, the poop go? No one knows.
Which is, I mean, it's exactly right. So I think the good news is, you know, with Star Wars, it does look like we're getting the we're getting the good ideas that have been generated from, you know, going too far with the effects and sci-fi being able to use, you know.
Yeah. I mean, oh, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I saw a really cool TIE fighter. That was from The Force Awakens, and it's very specific to that movie and has some unique qualities about it.
Yeah.
That was cool. But like I can't remember, what's the Kylo Ren? Is that the name of the bad guy?
Yeah, Kylo Ren.
His ship is not super inspired, you know, as far as, you know, the Lego version.
Right.
Because maybe they tried to go too literal to the movie. They could have used some imagination. Actually the really cool speeder that we see in the trailer, the first one, on what we assume is Tatooine. It's kind of like a weird vertical box that kind of scoots along.
Yeah, it looks really clunky.
Yeah, it's a neat looking toy in that it's accurate to the movie, but you kind of look at it like, this is not a really exciting toy. It's like, you kind of think like, well, okay, so you make toys out of the cool stuff in the movies, but I feel like you've just made stuff cool, like toys out of the stuff that we've seen in the movie so far.
Right.
Which only some of is cool and some of is not, you know? And so,
yeah,
you know, like, I mean, the TIE fighter, sure. But after that, you're like, well, you get a weirdly kind of a boxy speeder. You've got, you know, a couple play sets, like stage sets, and then this giant Kylo Ren thing that you're just like, well, okay, I don't, you know. Now, yeah. Maybe, having not seen the movie, maybe it does something cool. Maybe it twists and rotates in a funny way. Like, I didn't really. And me being not wanting spoilers, I didn't pick up the box. Like, I barely looked at it like, oh, that's something I don't want to see. And I kind of walked past it to the stuff I recognized. You know, like,
it says on the box, as seen in that epic battle moment. Blah, blah, blah. Like,
exactly, right? That, but that's the kind of stuff that they do. You got to watch that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. It's I don't know. I feel like I'm not worried about special effects in Star Wars. I'm sure that everything is going to look fine. I'm even okay with how they looked in the original or the prequels. Maybe not the first one, but the other two, like, they were fine. Like, I thought they were great.
They really kind of nailed by the end of it how to mix the technology they had with sort of an older style.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, I'm such a fan of the world of Star Wars in that I can really let myself go. Like, I can really kind of immerse myself in. And a huge part of that is, of course, the music and the sound and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I haven't watched the original series to get ready for The Force Awakens, in that my surround sound is busted. So I'd be just watching it on my TV. So then it's like, I don't know if I want to do that. So until I can figure out how to hook my headphones up to my television and get some sound going in something that has some robust, even if it's like fake surround. Like, when a TIE fighter goes by, I want it to go by, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. Because I'm spoiled. You want your hair to whiz by.
Yeah, I'm spoiled by having... by having surround sound for the last few years with it. So I've held off on that. And, I think that there's a certain amount of immersion there. And I feel like while I'm, again, like, I really like World of Warcraft, but I'm not like a super fan. So I'm not going to be looking at Warcraft, the movie, which is a prequel to a whole lot of stuff with a fine tooth comb. I only hope that they live up to just modern audience standards as far as visual effects go. I have no doubt that the story is going to be good because Blizzard is pretty good at that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that that's going to go okay. Because the groundwork was already laid. It's not like they were reinventing the wheel. Like, they're making a movie about a story that has existed for 20 years.
Right. You know? Yeah. It's true.
So, yeah. Anyway, we should probably wrap the show up. And speaking of Star Wars, you can check out my pick for the Internet Minute, which is brought to you by tweakedaudio.com. You can visit tweakedaudio.com and use the code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. They will not get to you in time for Christmas, but hey, you never know, maybe something for New Year's. But tweakedaudio.com, and the code, of course, is TCC. I watched a fun little diddly. It is a complete spoiler-free situation, with the exception of a couple of actors that I didn't know were in the movie that I saw on this. But there's no talking about the movie. It is simply Jimmy Fallon, The Roots, and some people from the cast of Star Wars The Force Awakens singing a Star Wars medley a cappella.
Nice.
It's really cool. It's short. It's fun. Check it out. It's on YouTube. Just search for Jimmy Fallon or The Tonight Show and Star Wars, and you'll find it. If it looks like the Brady Bunch opening, you found the right one.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Sweet. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe and the end of 2015 for the show. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for stopping by and calling in today, Lou and Ryan and everybody. It's been a super fun year. I'm looking forward to more stuff in 2016. Next show is going to be on the first Wednesday in January with Hammond. He'll be back. We are more than likely going to talk about Star Wars. I'm just going to put that out there now. So if you're not sick of it yet, we're going to have more to talk about soon. We record live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on the CitadelCafe.com/live. You can also find the live feed on alphageekradio.com. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod, and this episode will be available on iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com. If you would like to support the show, I have done something new. Finally, I got all of my kind of organizational skills piled into one little box, and I said, okay, it's time to give the Citadel Cafe its very own Patreon page. So if you go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe, imagine that, you will find us. And the cool thing about the way that Patreon is working now is that the totals that they show on the page is much closer to what we actually receive. I'm still working on putting up some goals. I don't know what exactly you guys would like to do as far as milestone goals, like listener call-in shows like tonight. More stuff like that is completely up to you guys. Let me know. But right now, you can go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. And if you enjoy the show, if you get value out of it, then consider giving some value back. And you can also email the show and tell us what you'd like us to talk about, thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. Follow us by name on Twitter and Facebook. Same with me. I'm just Joel Duggan. You can go to joelduggan.com. You can find all the stuff that I'm up to there, including hopefully some Star Wars cartoons over the next couple of days. Brockett, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can check out Biggest Fan Podcast. That's just a podcast I do. We're on a bit of a hiatus, right? Edis right now as we get through the holly jolly holidays. I literally tonight posted our way back in, I think, 2011, our Biggest Fan about Star Wars. So we talked about the original trilogy and then the prequels there. Nice. So I reposted that. I've been trying to repost a bunch of them because we don't really have archives. And since we're a one-and-done topic pod, casts, like if you talk about Star Wars 3 years ago, like Kyle and I can't really technically talk about Star Wars right now, so we have to find like clever ways of doing things. Sometimes we'll be like starships will be the episode, so then you basically talk about Star Wars, but anyway so you just check out Biggest Fan Podcast and you can join the Facebook group and whatnot. And I would suggest as a goal for Patreon, you get $5,000 worth of pledges, that you and I give the people a full hour conversation about geography. I think the people want it. I think the people need it. I think that's what they want. I think they've just been champing at the bit for more geography talk.
Wow. I'm on board. You have my full support. I also think we could do it for a lot less.
Yeah. I think most people would pay the $5,000 to keep it off the airway.
Yeah. That's the better thing is to suggest that as a goal and then have a higher goal. If we hit this goal, we won't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
We won't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I should also give a shout out to our very first patron over at the Citadel Cafe, and that is Woter. So thank you very much, sir. Much appreciated. And there will be more shout outs for people as you join the Patreon. It's one of the rewards is getting a shout out on the show, and I will be updating the Patreon page on thecitadelcafe.com as well. So you guys all get credits because you're essentially the producers of the show. You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap. But you can only pick two. Bum bum diddly dum diddly diddly dum bum bum diddly dum diddly diddly dum bum 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 bum.
Just segue
into the music. That's what I need to do. I used to have a really good TIE fighter noise, but I don't have it handy because that would have been a great thing to put in there. Just
wow. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a drowning cat.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.